Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Dean Rojas. And Dean, I guess, you know, you start thinking about the tour season January till June, and then the rest of the year you guys get a goof off, right?
Well, I think everybody thinks that we do, but we don't. It's a never-ending process, you know, along with Fish and Boat Tours. You have a lot of sponsor obligations to go along with that. And now it's become a full-time deal.
Well, you know, you look back now and you look, you had these great years. You know, you got the biggest winning weight ever at Toho and all the great success, but that doesn't do anything for you for 2005. You got to get planned and get prepared for both leagues, and then you got to really get that boat ready to go.
Oh, yeah, that's just it. You know, with the end of last year, everything that happened then, all the good things that came with the Classic and so forth, man, everybody starts with a fresh sheet of paper come January. So it's good to have all your equipment and everything running and in tip-top shape, you know, just to start in January down at Okeechobee.
Well, you know, you talk about fishing both trails, and I think maybe sometimes the average angler wouldn't think about what kind of preparation you do, in a way of map reading, but also getting that tackle ready. You got to have a tackle store with you.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, and the sponsors understand that, you know, and people don't understand how important it is to have everything ready and in working order and have everything organized. So when it comes around, you know, January, you're ready to go. And I spent the last, I mean, it's 2 weeks before Christmas, and I'm still engulfed in putting baits together and changing hooks and, you know, and making sure all my rods and reels are in tip-top shape. And of course, the boat, too, you know, that's going to be the one that's going to drive me around for the next 6 months, and then it has to be in excellent shape. And, you know, you go around, tighten all the nuts and bolts and make sure all the wire connections are nice and tight and brand-new batteries, brand-new boat, brand-new everything. And it's fun to start off with brand-new equipment, though.
Well, a lot of guys will think about this thing and they'll say, okay, I'm going to Okeechobee, I'm going to be at, you know, Toho, I'm going to be down in Florida. Do you pack based on where you're going, or do you pack maybe with some of those secret baits in there?
No, basically, I mean, this is my third time fishing both tours, so I've kind of got a pretty good handle on what I need to take down to Okeechobee. And, you know, we're really fortunate, Terry, because, you know, both circuits are going to hold their first two tournaments down in Florida, and then we have a week break in between. So basically, all the stuff that I'm taking down to Florida is basically for Florida fishing, you know, a lot of flipping and a lot of jigs and a lot of worms and the stuff that you're going to be using, and, you know, there could be a really good sight fishing bite on top of that, so I have to keep that in mind. And, you know, and you're constantly, when you're in the workshop, you know, going through all your baits and everything, is mentally thinking, you know, what am I going to need and what am I going to use and what if something fails, you know, am I going to have a backup for this and a backup for that, and just making sure everything is put together properly. And Florida is so unique in a way that, you know, you're probably going to be fishing 4 feet or less. So that really rules out all your deep diving crankbaits and your spoons and stuff like that, stuff that you would normally fish, you know, in deep water. And it's going to be a shallow water slugfest is what it's all going to be based on. So you got to make sure all your equipment is right, you know, and all your rods and your reels and everything suited for Florida fishing.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity last year at Lake Fork during the spawn. You know, imagine this, folks, you know, poor media guy. But I got to bedfish with you, and you look back at it. I look back at it. It was a phenomenal time. You know, we went and saw some fish. You saw fish I couldn't see. And when you start thinking about it, you were able to just take and set up on those fish. So if they're on the sight bed, you know, type of thing where you're going to do some sight fishing, you got to be extremely excited about that kind of bite.
Well, yeah, but also traditionally there's always, you know, two or three or four fronts that usually hit Florida during that time. Remember, we're in January down there, and yeah, it is nice and warm at times, but it, you know, all it takes is one big northern to come in, and man, it'll shut everything down. So you really have to change your whole game plan. You know, those fish, they move up on the bed so quick, but they also leave in a hurry, too. So, but that's just the nature of the beast of a Florida strain. You know, they're real temperamental, and I learned a lot of that, you know, growing up in San Diego, because we were faced with a lot of that. And, you know, I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp on what they do and where they go and can take it from there.
Well, you know, you look at the opportunity, you know, you look back at Toho and just how things fell together, but I think a lot of times we don't take into consideration just how important the practice time is. And that Toho event where you had over 100 pounds, you start thinking about how important was the practice time to you?
Oh, it was crucial. You know, when I went into that tournament, I really thought that the sight fishing thing was going to be the deal, you know, and so I spent the first day looking and never found one, Terry, you know, but I did see some areas that had some huge clearings in it. And I was kind of, you know, baffled, you know, if they were fish on beds or there were carp that were, you know, messing around the bottom, because a lot of times they'll do that. They'll clear an area when they're digging in the mud. And so I never really knew what I had. And, But I kept practicing, and on the third day of practice, you know, we had really warm weather from the start of the tournament all the way through it. And, man, those fish came up in droves. And all those clearings that I saw in practice all had a 9-pounder or a 7-pounder or a 6-pounder on them. And, you know, it just set up so perfectly and so right, you know. And the other thing, too, is at that time, because it had been so cold, there was a lot of fish that were being caught outside on the outside weed lines, you know, pre-spawn fish that were getting ready to move up. And a lot of the guys the first day who had them going deep the first day, they bombed, you know, because they all went to the bank. And it was just a good timing move on my part, knowing where to be and what to throw. And what a phenomenal day.
Well, you know, you look at it now, okay, 2005 is coming along, and you know, kind of got an idea what you're going to do and where you're going to do it. And, you know, as you fish both tours, you know, it kind of gives you an advantage a little bit, I would think, because, you know, you're going to get a feel probably for the water maybe better, don't you think?
Yeah, that, and it also can be a negative, though, too, because you can go on preconceived notions, you know, on how you caught them, you know, 2 weeks before in the FLW. Now you got the bass or vice versa on the same body of water, and, you know, the areas that held them 2 weeks ago may not be the deal this time, you know. So you really got to keep an open mind. Yeah, you know, you have your areas that you feel that they're going to be up there, you know, spawning or in a pre-spawn mode, and so you really got to just, you know, focus on that, but keep an open mind on what's happening, because, you know, you got to fish for the moment and not what happened 2 weeks ago.
Well, let's talk about goal setting a little bit. I know that, you know, as an angler, you always got a certain amount of goals you're looking for. Kind of go through your goal setting and what you're looking for in 2005.
Well, every year, Terry, I always have goals. You know, I mean, that is so important for any aspiring anglers to have goals and to set realistic goals. You know, it's not something that, you know, I'm going to win every single tournament on the circuit. You know, that's a good goal to have, but it's, you know, highly unlikely it's not going to happen. But, you know, I always try to get off to a really good start in Florida, because, you know, a lot of times that will set the tone for the rest of the year, and you get a couple of good finishes right out of the chute, and you tend to fish a little more, you know, you fish a lot better just because your confidence is there and you're fishing well and things are going good, and it'll just carry on through the whole season. And last year, going into Okeechobee and Harris Chain, I just really went in with an open mind and took one fish at a time, took one day at a time, and never really thought about what was happening a week from then and 2 weeks from there and where we were going to be at in 3 weeks from that. So I just took it one day at a time and really keyed in on what the fish were doing at that particular moment.
Well, you know, when you look at this thing, Angler of the Year comes out. You know, that's a very, very important thing. You had a great finish at the Bassmaster Classic last year, just did a phenomenal job there. Led the Angler of the Year for the FLW for a good portion of the year. You know, are those goals that you really try to think in your mind, I'll make them happen, or is it just something you really try to shoot for?
Well, obviously, in the back of your mind, that's what you always want to do is you know, possibly win Angler of the Year and get yourself in position. But I think most and foremost is making the year-end championship, you know, making the Bassmasters Classic and making the FLW championship. Those are the ones, you know, where highlighted. There's a lot of tension around them, you know, and a lot of prestige that goes along with that. But, yeah, you know, you go out with an attitude, you know, I might give Angler of the Year a shot this year and see how it goes. But, again, you really got to keep things into perspective, you know, and pay attention to every single event that you're at and just try and finish high. And, you know, but the ultimate goal is to make those year-end championships, because, you know, what could happen, like it happened at the Classic this year, you know. I finished 21st in the year-end standings for Bass and 7th in the Elite 50s and, you know, got a berth. And look what happened. I almost won the Classic, you know. And I would have never had that opportunity if I wouldn't have, you know, been geared for that, to try and make that year-end championship. And, you know, as you look back on 2004, that was probably the most noted thing that I did in 2004 was lead the Bassmasters Classic, you know, going into the third day.
Well, you know, I guess to wrap up here a little bit, you know, you look at back at the things you were able to bring to the table, but you've been busy in the off season getting some sponsors and stuff lined out, I know.
Oh yeah, that's the whole business side of everything that we do. You know, everybody has, you know, the perceived notions that you just go out and you catch them and fish them and then the sponsors come running towards you, and nothing could be further from the truth. You really have to use, you know, your business sense and really work hard for the sponsors and work with them, because, you know, those are the ones that are going to see you through the tough times and make the better times even better than they already are. You know, and it's so important to have a good relationship with all the sponsors and of mine. And, you know, a lot of the companies that I've been with have been them for 10 years, you know, and it's just I have a wonderful group of sponsors. And the newest one that I added Gamagatsu and Spro, which is Hook, you know, which is huge, because, you know, Gamagatsu, you know, they're number one in the hook market, and they've asked me to come along to design some baits for next year, and We even got a new frog coming out, so it's going to be real fun and real exciting. I'm going to have all that stuff ready for the season, and just keep an eye out for me.
Well, one of the true gentlemen of the sport, Dean, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Thank you so much, Terry. Anytime.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.